When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parenting Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing. Hello, you are listening to Parenting Hell with...
Finn, can you say Rob Beckett?
Rob Beckett.
And Josh Widdicombe.
Josh Widdicombe.
Yeah!
That was very cute.
There we go. That was Finn Luca, who's 3 on August the 2nd. Well, happy birthday, Finn Luca. How are you, Robert?
Yes, I'm not too bad. I'm good.
I can tell you of an issue I've had.
Oh, go on. Is it downstairs?
No, it's not downstairs, okay. No. It's well, it is down. It's in the kitchen.
So, that's not what you call your bum, is it?
That's not what I call my bum. No. I'd call my bum... Well, I wouldn't call
the
it
the utility room.
The sitting room. Yeah.
The sitting room. Nice. Do you still do that stand up about what your lap is? Your lap, you only have a lap sat down.
I haven't done that in years. Yeah. I haven't done that in years.
It's a good bit. It's a good bit.
Yeah, it was a bit of fun, wasn't it? That was in the first ever show I did, Rob. 10 years ago. Were we ever so young?
Laps. All you cared about was laps back then.
Yeah, exactly. Now I've got bigger concerns in my life. Sleep. Now, Ivory Tower confession, Rob.
Oh, no. What's happened?
Yeah. So we've ordered a new cooker.
Okay. What kind of cooker?
It's a nice cooker.
An Arga?
No, not an Arga, but like...
A range?
No, it's a... but I'm not going to tell... I'll tell you it's French. It won't surprise you, Rob, that I wasn't the one that did the choosing French, of the cooker.
Does it look nice?
Yeah, it's a lovely cooker, right?
Oh,
what's the date today?
Is it a La Chance?
It is a La Chance.
Is it La Chance? I've just literally typed in French cooker. They do. Yeah. Oh, it looks beautiful.
Yeah.
Right. So many knobs. It's like a rugby club.
Hey, yes,
there
please.
There we go.
So
many knobs, mate. And then there's like a bar. It's like a bar on it, the ballet. Oh, my God. I wouldn't know what to do with it. Oh my gosh, we could do some cooking in there, boy.
So,
a lunchon.
ordered it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It will be ready second week of December.
What the fuck are they doing? Are they still cooking in it now?
I don't understand.
Why is it taking so long?
Because they build it. They build each one to order.
Oh my, what colour have you gone for?
Black with brass trimmings.
Oh, that's nice.
Second week of December.
That's too long, isn't it, for an oven? How long does it take to...
I know. It's what we're in July. Think how far Christmas feels away. You're in a fucking heat wave ordering a cooker and they tell you it'll be ready for Christmas.
And you know that's going to be delayed. And then what's going to happen is it's going to be delivered on like the 20th and you're going to stress and you're going to ruin your Christmas dinner because you don't know how to work.
And what's going to happen is we're not going to get anyone to take away the old one or install the new one. So what we're going to have is Christmas dinner cooked in the old cooker with a La Chance in the middle of our kitchen floor.
A fucking La Chance. I've never heard of a La Chance before. Now I can't stop saying it. Fucking La Chance.
In the middle of the kitchen floor.
Wow, lovely. Well, it looks very nice, but it's a long time to wait.
It's too long, Rob.
Natural gas? You got gas?
Gas, hobs, electric, ovens.
Look like an absolute fucker to clean, mate.
Yeah, well, you know, Rob. You know me. I love to clean the cooker.
You'd have to sort of break it down every Sunday and give it a good old polish.
That's how I relax on a Sunday. And then I do the car. the car, which is a complete state because I went to the tip, I should say.
Oh, what have you been doing at the tip?
Getting rid of some old bits of wood that used to be a bench, and they've ruined the car. But I did convince my daughter that she'd enjoy going to the tip to help me.
Oh.
And then I did such a good job. Yeah. At the end, she was sad we'd finished putting rubbish in the bins and asked if we could come next weekend.
Really?
She loves the tip, Rob.
She loves the tip. It's a good day out. Sometimes there's stuff there that look. You think, oh, should I take that back? It looks all right, that. And then you get it home, you definitely don't work.
No. Always exactly.
I've got in a vortex of kitchens now and cookers. You can get some right mental cookers, can't you?
Can you?
Sorry, yeah, I can. Why do you want one? Can you?
Le Change. Craig Revel Hallwood.
Seven. What's second of December? That is too long, mate.
Second week of December.
Second week. Sorry, we said the second. Second week. Oh, that's no one wants anything delivered then.
No.
It looks quite big. Can you get it in the house?
It's 90 by 90. It's a square cooker.
It's a square cooker.
You always want a square cooker, don't you? I think that's a coincidence that it's 90 by 90. And the gap we've got is very perilously close to 90. And I'm already braced for it not fitting in the gap. I'm already thinking in 6 months' time I'm going to have to deal with this. But at the moment, I'm not dealing with it.
No, you're not dealing with it now. So it's a square one. Oh, it's not one of those long ones. A night area is. I found the Le Change now. Look, looks very nice. Look, very compact. I think that should get in, mate. Six hob burner.
Is it a six hob burner?
You've got six hob burner, mate. What? You're never going to use all six.
Let's not go too detailed about this.
You're trying to get a freebie. Anyway,
no,
right, let's talk about
kids. Because I tell you, this is a low moment. I did contact them on Instagram to see whether they could do it any quicker.
Oh, really?
I thought this is my chance.
You're the Widdicombe sway. Can you imagine who's running that? I can't imagine they're onto it. It's such an old school company.
Well, obviously, they don't have last leg in France.
How's you been parenting wise though this week, Josh? All right?
Yeah, all right. It's
the same
good.
For you. No
it's
summer
good.
Holidays, is there? No summer holidays for
no summer holidays. And it's. Do you know what? I'm feeling better, which I know is worse for the podcast, Rob.
Not ideal for content.
It's not ideal for content, Rob.
Not ideal for content,
But I've got hope. I've got kind of. I'm trying to stay positive.
Yeah.
And
you've ordered a cooker. You're living your best life.
Exactly. I've got friends that are having a. Their 3-year-old's not sleeping, and that's really helping me through it. All these kind of things.
My 3-year-old keeps having night terrors. It's horrible.
Really?
Like absolutely. Like. Is going like screaming like she's been chased by a bear, and then you go in there and try and sort of like comfort her, and she isn't awake. She's sort of like half asleep, half awake. So you can't. You have to sort of really like sort of snap her out of it. But I've been googling it, and apparently you're better off just leaving them to have the night terror, because if you try and wake them and comfort them, you scare them more because they're not fully awake.
Yeah, it's. When my daughter had the night terrors, and you just have to sit there, and you basically, it's like watching The Exorcist, isn't it? It's awful.
Oh, it's horrendous. She's just going absolutely mad. But you don't know. And then we'd bring her down and let her watch Moana for like 5 minutes, and then she goes back up to bed. But yeah, it's horrible. But I can't not cuddle her.
No. It's a horrible situation. Because you're like, are they going to remember this? Is this a thing? And then we asked her in the morning, and she didn't remember it.
Yeah, exactly. So you're just better off letting her get on with it, but then you feel bad.
Yeah.
So I don't know what I'm going to do. If anyone's got any night terror
any night terror tips.
That'd be very helpful. But yeah, she just goes absolutely loopy-loo. Right, I've got some more Instagram messages, Josh. Have you got some emails?
Go on.
I've got one here. Going. This one's from, I think it's an anonymous here. Anyway, hi, fellas. I've only just started listening, but I love it. I even play it to my clients in my home salon. Wow.
Oh, wow.
That's a bold move.
That's a dangerous game to play, isn't it?
Yeah, because if they don't like it, they've just got to pretend while they're in the home salon, which is legal now, I imagine, all the Freedom Day. Anyway, I'm a mum to 3 kids, 15, 9, and 7. Strange names. And I've got all their... Oh, no.
They'll be loving that in the salon. That's the kind of thing I want during a haircut.
That kind of stuff. Exactly. I've got all their belly buttons and their keepsake. Oh, my God. Leave her salon now.
Come on.
She's insane. So you've got...
She's going to keep your hair. She's going to make a voodoo doll out of it.
She's got all their belly buttons as a keepsake. I just wanted to share a potty training story with you. Years ago, we had taken the eldest boy out for dinner, and during it, he needed a wee. He'd been doing very well, but had become obsessed with standing up like daddy to go to the wee. I'm in the ladies' toilet, and he could just about reach a loo. As he's peeing, he starts to shout, "I'm pooing! I'm pooing!" Looking down and not being able to turn him in time, I reluctantly held out my hand and caught the poo.
Oh, my God.
It was relatively solid. I reassured him and turned to wipe my hand on tissue roll. Well, you guessed it. There was none. So with my hands full of skids, I opened the door to go and wash my hands without, whilst telling my lad to hang on and let me get some tissues.
Oh, my God.
As I opened the door, I was greeted by the young lady who had served us and had to ask if she could get me some paper to wipe my son's ass and my shitty hands.
Oh, my God.
When we returned to the table, my husband asked where the hell we had been and why we'd taken so long. And when I told him he found it so hilarious, he started to choke on his food. We ended up having to perform the Heimlich manoeuvre on him and taking him to hospital. But
my God.
But all I could think while slapping his back was, I just held shit on these hands. Keep anonymous, as my son would kill me if he knew that I told you any of this. Oh my, so they've kept the belly buttons. Her son's done a poo in her hand. Her husband's choking and she's slapping his back with her poo hand and had to go to the hospital.
That is something else, isn't it?
What an afternoon.
That would be too much if you wrote that in a sitcom. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? You go, the Heimlich manoeuvre bit's a bit much.
Yeah.
Rob.
Yes.
We've made a mistake.
Oh, no.
Do you remember a few weeks ago when I said we were going to stick a pin in Lucy Pond's email and read it on Tuesday?
Oh, we did this about a year ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, she's emailed in.
Oh, no, the Pondster.
What a numpty I felt after sending to all my friends and family, telling them to tune in on Tuesday the 18th of May to find out that you had forgotten.
Josh, I still don't think we should read it out.
Oh, come on, Rob. Well, maybe we'll do it on Tuesday. Let's do it on Tuesday.
No, let's do it.
Michael, how long have we got? I think this is such a good interview with Izzy. It's going to be a long one, isn't it?
We can't leave Pond again.
She says, from the very unsalty, even though you forgot all about me, Lucy Pond, / Mrs. Pond, / Pondy. Okay. Hello, Josh and Rob.
Lou's calling me. Can we wrap this up next week? Sorry, I've just got to sort something out.
Right. Now, this was genuinely one of the funniest interviews we've done in a long time, wasn't it?
Yeah, we hardly talk about parenting, really, do we?
We hardly talk about parenting.
A lot about food, which sort of ties in your new cooker. It's a real cooker episode this week.
Yeah, let's put it this way. Izzy doesn't need a La Chance.
No. And trigger warning, if you don't like the saying from scratch, turn off now, because that gets said a lot.
And if you're Ellis James, turn off now, because there's a lot of things said about you.
Ellis James gets an absolute mullering at the end.
Yeah.
He's not going to be happy about it.
This is Izzy Sooty. Hello, Izzy Sooty. How are you?
Hello. I'm fine. I've got a coffee and a pint of orange squash.
Oh, God. Hungover? Is that a hangover cure or just how you start a day?
I did go out last night with my two of my friends. How much have we all been out in the last year and a half? And it was absolutely brilliant. We went to this place where you like grill your own food over a grill.
What do you mean they don't do it for you?
No. I didn't think that. They were like, yeah,
it's called
like
a barbecue,
bring you
that,
a grill and I remember there's this cafe that I used to go to with my Scottish friend years ago in Clapham, where there was a toaster on every table and like loads of different types of bread and jams and stuff, and it was like only £8 and you could eat as much toast as you want, and we loved going there. And then my mate was like, you know, you could just do that at home. It is literally a toaster. And it was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, the point of going out is they do it for you. So you've been in lockdown cooking for yourself for 18 months. You've gone out to cook for yourself on a little grill.
Exactly.
But it's fun. You've had a good time. You've got a coffee and a pint of squash.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question? How are you too old for squash?
How Ooh. Dare you? Oh, I drink squash too, Josh.
I know. I took that as red, Rob. But I presumed as much. Is it? What kind of squash is it?
It's orange squash. Do you know what? Ellis is absolutely obsessed with squash. And I think if I hadn't found Ellis, That's a weird way of describing my relationship. If I wasn't going out with Ellis, I probably wouldn't have it in the house. But he I mean, we have to have one. He's like this with squash and Radox. He has to have one full one, like, in reserve, or he gets it.
Me and Ellis have got a lot in common. Squash, you've got to drink a lot. People aren't drinking enough water. And everyone just keeps drinking tea and coffee, which is bad for you. And if you have a little bit of flavour in a nice pint of water to have some squash, it's good for you, Josh.
Do you know what I've done? Do you know what? Yeah. How I'm consuming more water?
What's that?
I've got 840 mils of soda streamed water right next to me here, Rob, in a bottle.
What, soda stream?
What do you mean, soda stream? You mean it's got bubbles in it?
I bought a soda stream because it's the 90s. And it's absolutely changed my drinking habits.
Okay, so what,
I'm wary on this because at one point soda stream were going to sponsor our podcast and they didn't. And I don't want to give them too much advertising for free here.
So what, is it just having fizzy water?
Yeah, so I just have fizzy water because I really like fizzy water. But I was starting to get guilt about how many plastic bottles I was getting through.
Yeah, but you get through it, don't you?
You get through it.
Sometimes I think, Josh, you've got to stop having so much guilt. Drinking water, mate. You're not in charge of the bottling process.
But I just thought I'll get a soda stream and then it's in my house.
Do you make Coke and lemonade with it, or is it?
No, I don't. You can. I do apple juice with fizzy water for myself if I'm feeling... You know,
if it's a Friday night,
that's exciting. So your own apple ties.
I make my own apple ties.
Is it easy to make?
Yeah, it is. Five squidges of the button, and there we have
five squidges of the button, and there you are.
Yeah. Oh, I want to get one now. I mean, actually, you have done really good advertising.
I
mean,
I'm literally
looking at them on Amazon now.
Oh, it's
Josh, what are you doing? We should have got the money in for it. We shouldn't just be saying it. This is terrible advertising.
I never had a soda stream in the 80s. Was it 80s or 90s?
It was both, really.
Emma Vince, my best friend, had one. It was so exciting to go. But what happens if you put, like, ice cream in it or something? Would it make fizzy ice cream?
I think you just...
All right, Heston's on the phone.
Guys, I'm thinking of diversifying.
I don't think there's such a thing as fizzy ice cream, is there?
But you have to buy gas canisters to refill it.
Yeah, you do have to buy gas canisters.
But then they're plasticky, metal-y.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're great for the environment, John.
Oh, yeah. Whoa,
ship tiny bottles of gas around the world so Josh can have a fizzy apple, little turd.
He must have his fizzy apple. It's a weekend.
But you can't get fizzy in the paper bottles, can you?
You what?
You
can have fizzy in glass, I suppose, can't you?
Yeah, I reckon paper or cardboard wouldn't contain the bubbles, would it?
No.
But it has to be airtight.
Sort of waxy plastic. Do you know what? Just buy a bottled water. Can I say that? Is that allowed?
I think we've covered all bases of the options of fizzy water. We've promoted and had a go at all the different angles, if anything. I think people have left more confused than at the start of the fizzy water.
Either way. Do you drink squash, Josh?
No, I don't know.
No, you don't.
But I make my own apple ties like a complete twat.
Do you let your kids drink squash, Izzy?
Oh, well, look, everything's gone. If you asked me a year and a half ago, I would have said no. But, I mean, I don't know about you, but like everything, all the standards have slipped.
Yes,
You know yo-yos, those like fruit winders?
Yeah, fruit winders. Yeah, I don't know... I don't know if that's the right name for it, but I knew exactly what you meant.
I think there's an own brand version of them called Fruit Winders, which is why, which Betty won't eat. She's like, no, it's got to be a yo-yo. It's got to have the carbs in it. That's how they get kids reeled in, isn't it? But she must have 18 to 20 yo-yos a day. Like, she comes up to me and goes, can I have a yo-yo? And I just go, yeah. Like, there was a period where I was like, no, you've had 12. Maybe you could eat some proper fruit. But then in my head, I'm like, well, it is fruit. It's just baked fruit. But it's just like if someone looked at her diet. So yeah, no, they do drink squash. The little one doesn't. I make it very weak, but then he just grabs my pint of squash and downs like half of it.
So this is your second appearance on the show, Izzy. Can we just have a quick reminder of the ages of your kids?
Yeah, Betty's 6 and Stefan's 2.
And when you was on last time, we had Ellis on as well, your partner, who was doing like the early shift and you were going to bed later because you was writing a book. Now your book's finished. Is that correct?
It is, yeah.
So what's the sort of setup now with the childcare divide now that you're not writing the book?
How's the sleep? Cut to the chase. How's the sleep?
Oh, he's a sleep junkie, Josh. He's got a new kid and he's a sleep junkie.
Oh, Josh. Okay, listen, Josh, it's not going to be easy for you to hear this. Brace yourself.
Yeah.
It's good.
What?
Yeah.
Interview's over. But it was bad about a week ago, wasn't it?
Mate, it was terrible for years. So console yourself with that. Like, basically, the reason that Ellis started doing the mornings and I was doing all the cooking and cleaning in return, which some of my mates thought was quite unfair on me, but
it was very controversial in our, email inbox. We were considered...
Was it?
Leave and remain, very much.
It was 50, very much. 50, there was a lot of abuse of me and Rob over us thinking we had the easier side of the deal.
I got called a gammon pig.
The thing that I feel like I didn't mention the first time is that when I say all the cooking and cleaning, like I wasn't really doing that much cleaning. And like, it sounds like I was like, you know, dawn till dusk scrubbing floors and mopping.
Yeah.
I mean, like a 1940s housewife.
Yes, exactly. With a pinny on. And if you saw this dining room that I'm sitting in, there's a pile all the time on the dining table of like pens and books and like my work, Ellis's work, the kids' drawings, just getting higher and higher.
Yeah.
Like, every single surface. Oh my God. Right. So yeah, I think
we still call it the dining table. We've never dined on that table and it's fucking like, it's like a boot sale stockroom.
Yeah, that no one would ever want to come to. Like at a car boot sale, people would pay not to come to this stall. The only time we eat in here is Christmas dinner. And this is how much I did cooking and cleaning. I found a pea yesterday in the corner from Christmas dinner that was like all shriveled up. So what is it now? July? So, you know, I was sort of giving it all that in a way, but I still hate doing the mornings. So what happens since I last did this podcast is his sleep, which had been terrible. And that was the reason Ellis started doing the mornings, because he was like, I don't mind getting up early, but I hate cooking and cleaning. Fine. That's the deal. His sleep got better. So when it got better, I was like, why am I cooking like a steak from scratch? Why am I making like...
a steak from scratch has probably got to be the easiest thing you could have cooked.
Unless a steak from scratch means a cow.
Yeah. Why am I going
into a field, catching a cow, killing it with my bare hand.
A steak from scratch, yeah. Look, guys, I'm not just cooking. I'm doing steaks from scratch. I've had to let it to get to room temperature for 20 minutes, guys.
I've had to come in here 20 minutes early, get it out of the fridge and put it on the side in its Sainsbury's wrapping, go back in the other room, do some emails, then come back in. That is how committed I am to this steak.
From scratch, guys. Sorry. You're giving out fruit winders from scratch. I've opened this packet.
I chuck the bear card in the recycling and I give you the fruit winder. steaks from scratch.
Yeah.
Quiche from scratch.
That's a better from scratch, quiche from scratch.
Well, no, you're making
quiche from scratch means taking it out of the cardboard box and saying it and putting it in the oven.
I thought you meant you cooked as
quiche.
Do any cooking, did you?
Right, this is truly what happened, right? When I say cooking, I did things like that, which for me was a big deal because I never really cooked before lockdown. I just made salads or got takeaways. And then I did learn to make stew, which my mum had been trying to get me to do for ages.
Everything in a pot. That's learning to make stew.
But you have to like rub flour in it and stuff.
Yeah.
Spaghetti bolognese.
Yeah.
I did make one thing that was ambitious, which I got from, I think, a recipe book, like a posh recipe book. And it was like pie, and you had to it was chicken pie. I didn't make a pastry.
Why do you keep talking about food like you've never heard these words before?
Chicken pie.
Sorry, you've done a chicken pie.
I did a chicken pie, but you had to like... Sorry, Josh, I know you're a veggie, but...
I can deal with you.
It's all right, you're not feeding it. He's allowed to hear it. He's not got vegan ears.
I'll be honest with you. I'm not sat here going, God, I wish I was eating that chicken pie. Anything, it's reinforcing my choices.
And what? Steak sitting out on a hot counter for 20 minutes doesn't...
You do have to get the pan really hot, though. That is quite scary.
Yeah, you do, and you have to rub it with olive oil. Then you have to wash your hands.
No, you're not
touch
supposed,
raw
you're
meat.
Not supposed to. You're not supposed to put olive oil on it. You're supposed to cook it dry, just with a bit of salt.
God, don't say. Don't.
That's if what Alice I've been told, but I might be wrong. I might be wrong, but you don't want olive oil on a steak.
I thought you had to rub it with olive oil before you put it in the pan.
No, you do it dry. Apparently,
God.
And you dab it with a kitchen towel to get the moisture out of it. Because if it is wet and you put it in, or wet and cold, what happens is all that sort of, you know, it go. All the moisture goes to that weird, like, brownie meat juice stuff, which is
it goes into, like, puddles.
Yeah.
Hot meat puddles in the
Sorry, Josh.
Pan.
It's all right.
Sorry, Hot Josh. Meat puddles not doing it for you, Josh? do you know what I was doing? I was putting olive oil.
A pie is a hot meat puddle, really,
yeah,
isn't
it?
It
is
with,
actually.
With a coat on. Yeah,
So, yeah, this pie, you had to, like, poach the chicken in milk. And I was like, oh my God, I've never done anything like that. I just buy cooked chicken.
Yeah.
And you can just add it to, like, pasta. That's a meal.
Yeah. Chicken pasta.
Just chicken pasta, fully cooked. Just,
what are your kids eating?
Oh, they only eat, like, Steffi does have bits of our meals, but they eat, like, chicken nuggets and waffles and stuff.
Stuff
that kids should eat.
Microwavable veg is the saving grace of a parent's guilt.
Yeah,
the
that's
microwavable
so true.
Veg.
Like, I try really hard to get them to eat lots of, like, they eat like about 5 different vegetables and that's it. And I do try really hard to get them to eat different stuff, but Betty especially is just really fussy, so... Yeah, I just can't. I really envy those family who are like, we just make a chili and everyone has a bit. And it's like, no, we're not that.
No, yeah, we're not that either. What I'd say is because my eldest was a bit funny with food. And then when she went to a school and they have like school dinners, that she eats everything there, even with the other kids.
Yeah, that's good.
Sort of, as long as they're eating enough sort of healthy stuff and they're not just, you know, let them learn themselves. I think there's sometimes too much pressure of you've got to try and eat everything and you've got to finish your plate. And I think that's an unhealthy attitude to food. You're allowed to not like it.
That's true. My grandpa said to me when I was about 5 or 6, I want to see a nice clean plate. And actually, I remember that he used to say that whenever I was eating, he used to go, I want to see a nice clean plate. And one day he said, I want to see a nice clean plate. And apparently I went to the cupboard and got out a plate and showed it to him.
Brilliant.
So you had to poach the chicken in milk.
Yeah.
Which is
still going.
Yeah, it's still going. And then you had to sieve it and all the milk went everywhere. There were bits of chicken. And I was like, this is really, and it was nice, but I was like, this has taken more than half an hour. I'm not doing this again. So that was like, that was the only time I've been more ambitious.
Yeah.
So when Steffi started, he wasn't sleeping very well, then he started sleeping better again, so I kind of pulled back my standards from steak from scratch to like beans on toast,
right? Yeah.
Then
it's possible to pull back your standards on the cooking.
Just raw steak tonight, guys.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it from scratch. It's finished. It's
I'm
ready
not
to go
the quiche in the oven.
If you can
have
bother
it out
to
the
slice
box.
It we'll have carpaccio. But otherwise just chew on it like a dog.
There's a field, there's a cow, do your best. So he started sleeping well again. I pulled back because I was like, Ellis isn't, you know, Ellis doing the mornings, he's getting 8 hours sleep. I'm not doing all the cooking, cleaning. Everything was about balance, right?
So yeah, okay. So it's a bit like your oven ready Brexit deal as now needs to be renegotiated because the goalposts have moved.
Yes, but I did all the renegotiations in my own head.
So what? Okay, so
didn't talk to him about it.
So Steffi, how long? Steffi's going to bed. What, 7, 8 o'clock at night?
Well, when Ellis puts him to bed, he goes to bed at like 9:30.
But then sleeps till.
So what was happening in the middle? When he was sleeping badly, he would sleep. He would go to bed about, say, probably like 9:45 on average.
Yeah.
And he was waking up. That is late. I know. He was waking up in the night and then waking up for the day sometimes at 4:30 or 5.
Oh,
so that was hard for Ellis.
Yeah.
Then when he slept well again, he was sleeping till maybe 6 or 6:30. So I was actually, you know, this is fine. This is like later than post people get up.
I think. Post people.
I didn't know if you're being like the 2021 word for like, you know, postman, post people,
well, yeah.
Or you were talking about post people, like some sort of apocalyptic situation.
Yes.
When people don't exist anymore. I didn't know where we were in.
Yeah, post people are going to go after this blimmin' pandemic. Everyone's going to be a post person.
Yeah.
We're all going to get up at that time. Yeah, no, post men and women. I was like, yeah. I kept comparing it to like coal miners wouldn't get up, you know, later than Ellis. So, you know, it's actually got a really good deal.
Considering where he's from as well. That could have been his fate.
Yes,
if
exactly.
If he'd been born 50 years earlier.
Yeah, because if the baby's sleeping well and Ellis gets a lie in, then it's a bit unfair one person to do all the cooking and cleaning,
because,
isn't it?
And actually, in all seriousness, then we've both been working and I'd be like, hang on. So I've got a lie in, which is an hour's more sleep than him, but I've been up doing the kitchen and sweeping up and stuff. I say that as if...
Yeah.
Like it takes like 30
seconds.
And
you know you're doing it properly because there wasn't a pee from Christmas in the corner of the room, was there? So you're on top of it.
So then I'd
be like, those peas at Christmas? It's not a Christmas dinner thing, is it?
Yeah, wait, what? Yeah. Is that for your Christmas dinner? Peas?
No, it's not. You don't have peas at Christmas.
Peas and carrots in one, Brussels in one bowl, peas and carrots in another bowl, parsnips.
Okay.
Potatoes.
I'm not against it, but I've not really seen it. As long as you're not swapping it out for one of the mainstays of the Christmas dinner, I don't mind a bowl of peas.
No, so I mean, no. And also, you see, it's only one of the few vegetables that the kids will eat. So
fair enough. Yeah. I stand corrected. I take that back.
Thank you. The shriveled up vegetable thing from Christmas actually runs in the family because we used to have this Christmas crockery that we used every year when I was growing up, and with like really nice pots with lids on. And one year Dad got them out and there was a shriveled up Brussels sprout in one of them that had been in there for a year. But what I thought is the whole bowl can't have been washed, because why would you just leave one Brussels sprout in it? It can't have been washed at all. You wouldn't just like wash up around the Brussels sprout and be like, oh, that'll be nice to see in a year, or reminders of last Christmas. So, yeah, so then he started sleeping really badly again. I upped my game again with the cooking.
Why did he sleep badly again? Just did.
Oh, I don't know. I think it was the heat. It was reasonably recently. So, you know, we had that like mini heat wave, probably about 2 months ago.
Yeah.
We'd got him back to sleeping really well. And then he was like a robot. We'd put him in his bed and he would turn over and go to sleep. It was amazing. And then one day he just didn't. He got up and was like, out. And I was like, no. It was like everything started to unravel. You know that feeling you get where you're like, no, I'm not going to be able to watch Time. I'm not going to be able to, I haven't eaten. I wanted to have a beer. I needed to do work. Like, I was just like, this can't be happening. And then it was a grim period of about 6 weeks where one of us would have to lie on his floor sometimes for hours.
And
we were like, how has this happened? Like hold his hand, and I would lie there holding his hand, like just in the dark, not daring to move, just thinking about all the things I could be doing and thinking, is this going to last forever? I thought, because you've got the thing where they're a newborn and you think, and Josh, you're going through this now where you're like, okay, yeah, it is hard when they're a newborn. But when they're two, especially when they've had a really good period of sleeping, you're like, no, like this guy's always like.
Oh my God. How long are you lying there?
Well, there was one night, I must have lain there for an hour and a half, and every time I moved, he would like... Oh, because you feel bad, don't you? Because they're like, and his little hand would like scrabble for mine.
Oh.
And I told it again, and I needed a wee, and I was like, oh.
And what are you doing what are you doing with your hour and a half?
So this is what I did. And then Victoria Corrin Mitchell sent me a really lovely message on Twitter saying, like, basically I tweeted about it and I got all these really lovely messages. And me and Alice talked about it. And we were like, let's imagine, this is the conclusion we came to from like all this, like parents were like, I'm with you. We were like, let's imagine that they're teenagers. Ellis said, this is what I do. I imagine he's a teenager and he doesn't want to hug me. And a few people had said this. And it's like, this is my chance to give him a cuddle. So I was trying to do that. This is this particular night. I was like, imagine he's in a band, he hates you. Maybe he's not in one band, he's in five bands. You know, he's got a really long fringe, he's got spots, he doesn't want to talk to you. But I just lay there thinking, I think my patience has really got thinner since I've had kids. I said that stuff is a really controversial thing. Yeah. Guys, I think it's really weird, but I think my patience has got thinner. But Ellis just seems to be really calm the whole time. But I think I get really like, instantly like, oh my God, this is how it's always going to be. And I lay there and I was like, oh my God, right. Okay, Izzy, just chill, chill. So I started trying to think about like random things from the past that I can't do anymore. A, because of the pandemic, and B, because I'm old. Is that thing, isn't it, where you go, oh, because of the pandemic, I can't go clubbing anymore. And I'm like, I haven't been clubbing for like 15 years. Like this idea that if it wasn't for COVID, I'd be out every weekend like watching Chemical Brothers and like...
I'm quite up for another barrier to stop me going to a nightclub.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, have you got... Oh, actually, can't not double jabbed, actually. It's next week, so I'll miss this one out, guys. Have a good stag do. I'll see you back at the hotel.
It's so the ultimate. Like,
so you the way you deal with it was be lie there and think about things you couldn't do.
Well, it was like I lay there and I was like, just chill, just chill. And all these thoughts came into my head of things from the past. Like for example, I thought about something I hadn't thought about for ages, where me and my best mate from home had an argument in a pub in Matlock when we were like 18 about the pronunciation of Exmouth. And it was before the internet. So she was saying it was Exmouth. And I was like, as if, like, and we ended up getting the barman and saying, you know, how do you pronounce it? Stuff like that just came into my head because I was just like lying there with,
it was
really
like being in that
tense,
kind of, you know, when people go in those isolation tanks,
yes,
or something, and they find these places in their mind that they didn't know they had.
Yeah, it was a bit like that. I did do that once and I didn't like it. I felt really kind of like,
yeah,
weird.
Like
I felt like I was in a tank with a lid on. Like it felt really, and I started swimming around in it, which I don't think you're supposed to do.
No, you're not meant to do that. You're not meant to do legs.
Just keep going under, holding your breath, seeing how long you can do. Do you think, when you say like Ellis was calmer and stuff, do you think, because I sometimes Lou can get more head up than me, but I do think there's like an unsaid undue pressure that sort of women are sort of more maternal and like mumsy, where like in traditionally men haven't been. So now if you're a man in 2021 doing stuff for your kids, it's almost like, oh, look, guys, I'm like one of those modern guys that does stuff. And it's almost like you're riding a wave of self
off.
Actually, do you know what I mean? Men normally, like my dad didn't do that much. So I'm doing this, so I'm like, you're automatically sort of on a bit of a high of like, where actually there's undue pressure on women to sort of automatically know what they're doing and be on top of it, stereotypically. And I think that still exists to a point where men are a little bit like, hey man, I'm a modern man. And you're like, fuck off. You're just doing what you should be doing.
Yeah, it's like, but when you see a man with like a sling on with a newborn, you're probably doing this, Josh, like sauntering down the street.
I can't deal
with
the heat,
I've got
my flat
white. I've got
got my flat white. I've got my strap-on kid. But it's too hot for you, Josh, is it, the sling?
In this weather, we're recording this at a heat wave, and the sling is an absolute horror show.
You do end up with like a mountain of sweat, don't you?
Yeah, well, it's like something an army person would put on, isn't it, to train?
I think they're called soldiers.
They're called soldiers.
Don't want to be the stiff neck of the group, but... There are certain names for certain things.
You can
things.
Say, it's not like post person. You can say soldier.
Soldier's fine. There'll be right. No gender argument there, mate.
One of those soldier men.
I don't think they're soldierettes.
Soldier boy. Soldier girl. but do you think that is all just thinks your personalities,
well,
you and Ellis?
No, I think you're right. And I remember when my mates had kids before I did, I would often see the guys like referring to looking after their kids as babysitting.
Yeah.
I've fallen into that trap.
It's a difficult, you
say it, and then the moment you say it, people pick up on it.
I never have, because I'm very modern man.
Of course,
and I think
Rob. The
birds are doing great things looking after kids. And I'm happy to do a bit as well.
Listen, they're doing themselves proud, aren't they?
Doing themselves fucking proud, they are.
They're spinning a million plates and they still manage to put food
on
them every night.
What about she does? She don't moan. Good on her. Good old girl. obviously, that's all joking, isn't it? If you want to cancel me. That was a joke.
I don't think...
Can't cancel this, can you? Basically, if you get cancelled, you lose the advertisers. But I'd still be doing it for nothing, this.
Yeah, you've done it on a street corner.
Yeah, you can cancel my wage. You can't cancel my voice. I think that's the rule, isn't it?
I love the idea of you standing on the street being like, well done, love. You've got the buggy. You're on the phone.
She ain't panicking, is she? Look, good on ya. Two she's got. Yeah, that is my wife. Yeah, yeah.
They can't cancel my voice.
You can't cancel my voice.
But the other thing that I used to pick up on was that men often called their male child. That's a weird way. They're little boys, mate. And there was one, I remember going to this thing and there was a man with his boy and he only called him mate. And I never knew what the kid's name was. He must have called him mate 100 times. I was like, is his name mate? Anyway, Ellis.
That is a South London thing though, mate. I've played football with blokes for 10 years and I don't know their name.
Yeah.
And I'll just call them mate. Mate, and yeah. Call them for the ball like that. That
it's
I think
a
that
good
might be
get
a
out if
London
you don't know someone's name, isn't it?
Well, it's too good to get out. So, yeah. You know, especially with this accent. Mate, it sounds all right. But if you're Ivo Graham and you go, mate, you're like, you don't know my name. You 100% don't know my name. But if I call you mate, you just think it's all right.
What about pal?
I don't mind pal. It's quite northern, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose it is actually. Yeah.
It's a bit more northern, pal. Mate, I hate chief or fella.
Oh, yeah.
Like yeah, chief. Fella feels like an affectation.
I hate being called big guy. I'm 5'8". I'm not a big guy. You're just implying I'm fat. I'm not a big bloke. I think I'm below average height. I'm a fucking big guy.
Big guy.
Hey, big guy, what's up? Oh, fuck off.
It's different for girl. I do sometimes call people mate, but I don't know if I'd call someone I didn't know mate.
What would you call the plumber? If you got a plumber in, what are you calling
actually,
him?
Actually, I think or I would her? Probably maybe say mate to, yeah.
I'd immediately go, all right, mate, you want a cup of tea?
Yeah.
Straight off the bat.
Yeah.
They absolutely can't even get in the door before I've offered them a cup of tea.
Oh, me too. Oh, my God. Like
flask at the doorstep.
Yeah.
Help yourself.
I am a good guy. Here's your cup of tea.
Would you offer them something from the Soda Stream, Josh?
What? Do you want a homemade apple ties?
Just steal for me out of cardboard, thank you.
I'd offer them still water, but I wouldn't say still, I'd say water.
Would you like some still water, mate? A weird thing happens when you're a woman, which is that you start getting called madam or mom. That's what's
happening. Like, mom.
I'm 42. Like, I've never minded being called love or darling. I don't know why. I just haven't. I don't mind being called mate, pal. I don't actually really mind what I'm called because for me, it's about the intention behind it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mind being called love or darling if I feel like they're being sexist. But if it's sort of that is what they call women, it just instinctively I don't mind. But what's happened in the last sort of like 4 or 5 years is that sometimes people will say madam or mom. And I'm like, oh my God.
That is a weird.
It's
Where's
weird.
Mom? When are they saying mom? What kind of situation?
I think it happened in the the hardware shop the other day.
But it's sort of hard though because I think a lot of blokes are so scared. Like blokes will go, "All right, darling. All right, cheers, love. Wait there, love." Which is a bit. Some people would find that disrespectful. Mm-hmm. But then it only leaves you with quite sort of, you know, like authoritative, you know, officious titles of madam and ma'am.
Yeah.
You're really boxed into a corner
of what
you can say. So everyone panics and madam, ma'am.
Yeah, exactly. But then I suppose what would you say if it wasn't about their gender? Then something like mate or pal can be applied to both. But I think some older women maybe wouldn't want to be called mate. I don't think my mum would want to be called mate.
No, I would go with sugar tits. Do you think that's a mistake?
I think that's the safest. Yeah, if you're everyone, men and women.
Yeah. Well, because bird, you know, calling someone a bird.
I don't like that.
No, exactly. But then that's if you know someone's name, being a bird or bird, that's disrespectful because bird is basically Old English for it's poetic young maiden, basically, where it's basically if someone's seeing someone and you've never met them before and they're bringing them to a party or something, he's bringing his bird.
Yeah.
It's actually spelled BYRD. It's not an animal. So it's Old English.
Oh, I see.
So but if I went, that's Ellis's bird and you're stood there. That is so disrespectful. But if I'd never met you before and Ellis was bringing a new partner we have never met, it's almost like a suitor. It's sort of like bringing along. And that's where it's from originally. But obviously it's been used in a derogatory sense when people have not bothered to learn the
this
name of
like
a lady.
Radio
in their company.
4 all of a sudden.
Sorry, I got a bit stiff up my neck there. But no, but it's because I looked into it.
Very interesting though, but how things change. It's always about the intention. That's what I mean about I don't mind if some people call me love or darling. It doesn't register. And then if others do, it feels like it jars. It's only about how they mean it. And if a word changes its meaning over time, I think the most up-to-date meaning is how it should be taken.
Oh, of course.
It's interesting to learn about that.
Yeah, exactly. But that is that should never, no one should know. Even in the old meaning, you should never refer to someone as a bird, like to their face, or if you know them or if you've met them. It was always used in, we don't know who that person is.
Yeah.
So he went off with some bird because you don't know who that person is, or and you've never met them, you have no name. They're just, it's just a young single woman that he's gone off with.
Yeah.
Basically is what that implies. But yeah, it's whatever the most up-to-date meaning. But that's, I just found it interesting of where that came from. Because in up north, if someone calls you pet, pet seems a bit of a weird thing to be called, but because it's like a part of that sort of accent and that region.
Oh yeah, they
it's
like
sort of actually isn't that or a bit weird or duck?
No,
being
I think
duck
duck,
in Yorkshire.
So where I'm from in Derbyshire as well, everyone says duck, and it's wouldn't even register it. It's like the word.
But that's
and.
For men and women, duck, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, especially young men. I don't know if you'd say it to like a rugby player who's like.
Did you get the dinner? All the dinner ladies would go with my lover. Did you have that one?
No.
My lover? Oh, God, that's so weird, isn't it? You're like, my lover. The dinner ladies.
Oh, the dinner ladies. It was almost exclusive to dinner ladies, that phrase.
It's part of the training.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. So they'd be like, come through, my lover, and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, that's lovely.
It's raining, my lover. Get inside.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Inside play today, my lover.
I wasn't anyway, any so, of their lovers. Anyway, just to clarify.
We've really gone off tangent today.
Oh,
we're talking about
so
you
men,
holding Steffi's
so,
hand.
Oh, yeah,
men. Sorry, men.
Ellis, I have to say, much as I want to come on here and slag Ellis off.
that's what we really want.
And that's what the listeners want.
I mean, that's funner, isn't it? But I have to say the truth. I
hate to go back to language, but it is more fun is the word. But
it's funner, my lover. I think he actually does do so much. I think and I don't want to say I'm lucky, because like you said, Rob, it shouldn't be like,
no,
hey guys, but he really does do a lot of childcare and a lot around the house, and I think it's great. I said it really like reluctantly, like
like
you've a been politician,
forced into an apology.
Like I've been made to, like Dominic Cummings, like that. He does a lot, and I think it's great.
Yeah, live from the Rose Garden here on BBC News.
Oh, to steer you on to something more beneficial to you, but also keep it on parenting. How was writing a book in a house with two kids while you were also making a steak from scratch?
It was at times really hard. Like there were bits. So I got my notes from my editor just after COVID began. And I remember being upstairs in bed, in Betty's bed, because it was like the only place that people weren't screaming, throwing balls at the wall. And that's just Ellis.
Lovely.
Thank you.
I think everyone has a place in their house where if they want to escape, they go. At mine, it's a spare bedroom under the washing, the clean washing. I go and hide under there sometimes.
Is there always clean washing on the
always.
Bed?
Always. It's like a wardrobe. It's a lay-down wardrobe, basically. There's always clean washing on the bed until someone comes to stay, and then we panic.
Yes.
But it's been a lockdown, so no one stays.
Exactly. It's just a wall of washing. Yeah. I've actually get to the point where I don't put things away. I know where they are on the dryer, on the floor, under the dryer.
I just get it off my pants pile off the bed. That's where my clothes live.
There was one day where I had a 28-minute gap to try and do like 500 words when I was doing the rewrites. And I like ran upstairs and I was like, I can do it, I can do it. And then both of them started crying, Betty first, then Steffi. And they were like screaming. And I was like, what am I, like, this is so hard because I'm just going to go downstairs. I like need to see what's going on. And it was really tricky. It was tricky. Yeah. And Ellis, we still go upstairs and work quite a lot because things really aren't normal even now, are they? Like a lot of us are still working from home and the kids are back at school and the childminders. But like that bit where we were all in, it's just a blur. Like it is, I don't know how I got anything done now. And Ellis, like even now, will go up to our room to work, almost like he's now conditioned, even if the dining room's free with the pee on the floor, like he will go upstairs and get in bed and work. And then the amount of stuff he leaves up there is unbelievable. It's like the other day there were two halves of malt loaves that he'd been biting off, like like two new ones that he'd opened for some reason. I think he thought that he was going to eat all of the first and then forgot that he'd opened it. And then coffee, which he always has to make from scratch, weighing it out.
Scratch?
Yeah.
Scratch. It's a thing in your house, isn't it?
Scratching this.
Fucking hell, he's in Colombia at the moment picking the cocoa bean.
So he weighs out the coffee beans and then he grinds them. The other day I was waiting, we were going to Go Ape in Battersea Park, and I was like, please, can we go? And he was like, I need to make a coffee. And he's like weighing out this coffee. I'm like, oh my God, we haven't been out of the house yet.
Why does he do that to the coffee? What is it, just so it's perfect?
My mum finds it really funny because she's like, it brings his scales. When he goes away, not that we've really been away in the last year and a half, but with a few times that we've been to see mum and his family, he has to take his scales. He's like a dealer. He has to take his scales and the coffee beans, and then he has to wait, has to take the grinder, which is really heavy, and he won't let anyone else do
holiday.
It.
Holiday?
Yeah.
I mean,
he does not know this, Josh.
No,
but he wouldn't. And sometimes his mum is like, oh, I've got a cafetiere. Will that be all right, Ellis? And he's like, no, I've got to have my scales and my grinder.
What kind of scales is it? It's electric scales. He's not got like little weights.
What kind of grinders he got as well? It's not the app, is it? A couple of lads jump on in a cab from Soho.
Look, we've all undergone changes in the last year. Some of us have realised stuff. They're electric scales, and it's like a hand grinder with a handle. It's quite big. And the kids always want to do it, of course, and he won't let them do it in case they grind it the wrong way. Like,
oh my God.
So we were like nearly late for Go Ape because he'd had to make this.
Was Go Ape with the kids?
It was with Betty.
Right. Yeah. How was that?
I've done it before with her. So Ellis said, I really want to do it. And I said, do you know it's heights and you don't like heights? And he was like, it'll be fine. And then he was like white and shaking when he came down. And she'd been going first and being like, come on, Dad. And he's like, I'm not doing it again. It was so scary. And it was like the kid's one.
So it wasn't even the big one?
No. She's six. Like...
Had too much coffee, I think. Yeah. Can't relax. So how is Steffi sleeping all right now? He don't have to hold his hand. Did he just sort of grow out?
No,
of that
it's fine
then?
Now. We had to sort of like go back to scratch and do like loads of stuff, like going to the stairgate and telling him gently to get back into bed. It took about 3 weeks, and now sometimes he like comes to stairgate and like chats to us, and then Ellis seems to be the only one who can get him to go back into bed, and he's like, Stefan, bed. And Steffi like scuttles to bed like a little, like he's from Oliver Twist or something. Like he looks from side to side and like scuttles. And then when I try and do it, he just laughs. So I have to go down and get Ellis to come and say. So I'm going to record Ellis saying, Stefan, bed.
Well, that's the thing. It's a, my 3-year-old's got a bit funny like that. She's just not going to bed. But I think it's the heat doesn't help. This heat wave we're in at the moment.
It really doesn't help.
They're not going to bed till about 9:30. So they're just playing in the garden.
Would you know what the other thing is? Did you guys find this? The football didn't help. Did you have people like cheering outside the window and stuff?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, I had people in the garden for the football. Socially distanced and totally the right amount of numbers.
No, but also,
the way you said that, it was like you didn't know them. They'd just come into the garden and...
Squatters.
I'll just let them stay, you know.
Especially as well in London, there's so many different nationalities all around Europe that it's like every other garden every night.
There
was they're Belgian. Never knew they were Belgian. Yeah. 4 down.
I went to see a Euro 96 game and it was Denmark versus Sweden.
Because you know nothing about football.
I know nothing about football. We just met these Danish
guys.
Ellis
said he was watching the final with you, or the Denmark game, sorry.
Yeah.
And when England scored their winning goal, you looked up and you went, oh, is that who Harry Kane is?
Yeah, that's right.
That was the first time you'd ever seen him in the flesh.
Yeah, and then I watched the final on my own because he went to do a podcast, in inverted commas, at someone's house. He did have to do podcast. He was like, I think I better leave at 4 o'clock to make sure I get there in time. And then he was like, yeah, we had loads of really nice food. And I was like, actually, yeah, that's fine. Enjoy it. But she adds hastily. But I watched it on my own and it was quite weird. And then I didn't know like what was going on. So I just had to put it all on Twitter and people genuinely couldn't believe that I didn't know.
What like, do you mean you didn't know what was going on?
Stuff would like... I realised that in order to know how long it would be, I had to add 45 plus 45. And I was like, oh, I do that every time I watch football because I know that one half is 45. But obviously my maths is so bad that I have to add it together every time. But I didn't
know
how long,
a football match was?
No. And then I didn't know how long extra time was. So I put how long's extra time? People were like 30 minutes. And people couldn't believe I didn't know. I suppose because Ellis likes football so much. But
Can you name 10 footballers?
Definitely. What? Who are playing now or like who've ever played?
Who've ever played, except in that England team. In exchange for that, we'll promo your book.
Oh my God, okay. What? Who did you say who haven't played on the England team?
Who aren't in that current England team? Okay, fine, you watched that last week.
Peter Shilton.
Nice.
Yeah.
Ryan Giggs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rodri Giggs.
Oh, his brother. His brother. It's the third football you know. It's
I think he's playing at a lower level. I can check it for you, but I would. Rodri Giggs.
Well, no one was thinking Rodri Giggs, were they?
Oh, dear. Rodri Giggs. Oh, we'll let you have Rodri Giggs.
Okay, that's three. Okay. Beckham.
Yes. Yeah, first name?
David.
Yeah.
I just think if he's going to go for his cousin, Stephen. Had a run out for Welling, I think, in 86.
Played a charity game the other day. Okay, David Beckham. Let's think of all their little mates. Hang on. Come Justin Fashanu? John Fashanu?
Yes, two there.
You love siblings. Absolutely.
That's a good two. Good two, though, there. Justin and John Fashanu.
Okay.
Where have they come from? Why are they the next
they
two?
They are literally the next thing that popped into my head. Okay. Pele?
That's you probably the best Rodri game Giggs. I've ever played.
Yep, enjoying the Pele. What are we up to now? We've got the two gigs, the two fashioners. Yes. Seven, okay.
Okay. Brian Clough, did he play before he was a manager?
Yes,
he did. He'll give you that.
The guy who missed the goal in Gareth Southgate.
Yes, he used to play. Yeah.
One more.
Peter Shilton was a strange first one as well.
Well, he came to my school. That's why I thought of him.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Neville something. Neville Southall? Is that?
Yes.
Yes.
Neville. I thought you was going for Gary or Phil Neville.
Yeah, so did I.
Or Neville Neville.
Well, yeah, okay. Gary and Phil Neville, were they in the 90s? I feel like they were around when I was at school. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did they have red hair?
No, that's Paul Scholes.
Right, okay.
And Nicky Butt.
Yeah.
Remember that? Brilliant. Good work. I really enjoyed that.
Me too.
Rodri Giggs. Rodri
Giggs. Then Pele after the fashion news. What's your book called, Izzy?
It's called Jane is Trying, and there is no football in it. There's none. There's no, no sport, shit. Actually.
What's it about?
It's about a woman who is engaged to a guy who is cheating on her, and when she finds out, her parents like scoop her up and take her back to her hometown, which is like Matlock, but not Matlock.
Is this biographical or is
no, it isn't biographical, but I don't think you can help putting in little bits of people you know and stuff. But
And
her parents are really overprotective and stuff, and she's quite an anxious person. And then it's about her like trying to kind of get her life back together, but lots of things happen to her.
Brilliant.
It's a great book. Everyone go out and buy it.
All signed editions available on Waterstones if you want a signed one.
How many did you sign, Is?
1,000.
Was it the worst experience of your life?
Well, I was supposed to go to the printers to do it, and then I just ended up being a little bit too busy. So they sent me all the pages and I did it at home. And I thought it would take me about an hour, and it took me about 3 hours, and I had to keep shaking my hand. Like, that's how I shook hands with myself. Like, well done, you've done 100. Like, shaking, like, my wrist because my arm got tired. It was quite cool as well.
I'm signing mine at the moment. They've sent me some in a box. It takes forever. And as I'm doing it, my daughter has been doing her autograph as well. So I've got a big pile of post-it notes of her autograph, and she keeps going, I'm going to go and give them to everyone. And I'm trying to say, it's not really how it works. You don't just, you have to be asked for it. But I can't bring myself to tell her that. And she went, I'm doing them. And she went, there's enough for everyone in town.
So Rob.
What I'm going to do is I've collected all these little post-it notes, and they're really cute. She's done a little girl's face and then a squiggle for her name. And I'm going to sneak into bookshops and put them in the books when the book's out.
Oh, so you might get a double signed one. So I'm saving them all up. Yeah, that's weird. I used to do that when I was younger, you know. I used to write out my autograph on squares of paper and give them out and say, I'm going to be famous. Here's my autograph.
Oh, it's true. Izzy, thank you so much. No time for Crosby's Law. We've already done Crosby's Law, I think. Have we asked Izzy's Crosby's Law before? Josh, we quickly do that.
What one thing would you name that Ellis does that annoys you, but you haven't brought it up with him because it's too awkward, but were he to listen to this podcast, finally,
he'd
know.
Oh, God, there's quite a lot to choose from.
Most people normally go the other way and go, oh, well, it's very difficult to come up with something, but here's one thing. But you've...
Do you know what I think I would do? Well, he likes putting clothes away, which is great. That's like his thing. But he listens to his own podcasts really loudly
when
he's doing it.
What ones ones he's in?
Yeah, only ones that he's in.
What?
No, not Ellis.
Yeah. Yeah.
He listens to himself. So like ones he does with John Robbins or
the sports bar.
That's, and you can hear him, is he laughing?
Yes, very much so.
Oh my word. Himself?
Yeah.
God. That can't be true.
It's true.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Does he do the sport one or the Robbins one?
You what?
More. Which one does he prefer, the sport one or the Robbins
God,
one?
God, I don't know.
But he do both.
Both. He does do both.
And does he claim he's listening back for quality control?
I don't
situation?
Think so, because they're already out. He's not like I listen to mine back to say like my own podcast. I'll be like, which you probably do as well. Like, oh, did I want to say that or whatever? Or did the guest want
that? Ship sailed. That ship sailed and been wrong.
I have never listened back to any podcast I've ever done. I can't bear to. I just sort of assume it'll be all right.
It's hard.
We haven't got the guts to tell Rob this finished 6 months ago.
I don't care. I don't.
It's just nice to have a chat.
Yeah, I just like chatting to people. If it goes out, it goes out. That's a bonus. Ellis James, cannot wait to bring this up when I see him.
Yeah.
Now, if anyone ever sees Ellis James out and about with headphones in, you can go up to him and go, oh, what podcast are you listening to of yourself, Ellis?
Yeah, if you put one of the headphones into your ear, you would hear Ellis's voice.
Amazing. Right. Oh, hopefully he listens. Well, he won't listen back to this. He might listen to the back ones, to the ones he's on, but not this one.
I don't think
he will.
I don't think he listens to anything that he's guested on. I think it has to be his own stuff.
Fair enough. So, maybe he's listening back to see how he can improve and things like that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think so. I think he just loves it. Just makes him laugh.
At least he's laughing at like Bubbins and the other people and John and stuff. Not, you know.
Yeah,
not,
it would be bad if he was only laughing at himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I'm not going to lie to you, Izzy, it is bad. But it could
be worse.
But
we're trying to find if he did a podcast that was just him, like Ellis James's thoughts, it was just him, and then he was listening back to that and laughing, what is going on? But the reason that I feel I can't say anything and bring it up with him is because I'm so grateful for him putting clothes away, because I hate putting clothes away.
Okay, so you don't want to stop that. Okay,
yes.
Fair enough.
Yeah. And it feels like that is one of the conditions.
Izzy, thank you so much.
You're right. Jane is trying. It's out now, isn't it?
It's out now. Jane is trying. Yeah.
Brilliant. Thanks, Izzy.
Thanks,
amazing.
Izzy. Izzy Sooty.
I love Izzy Sooty. She's brilliant, isn't she?
I'm just going to say it. The updates from that house are always astonishing. Whoever they come from, I can't wait to interview Betty in the years to come.
I want to interview the nanny. You know, the babysitter that they use a lot for childcare. Yeah. It's not a nanny, is it? It's just the local babysitter. But I want to interview her. I would love to see a reality TV show. You know, the same as they do with like Fern McCann and the Billy Fairs.
Yeah.
You know, and all that, all those sort of you know, ITV reality shows. I want to see one of Izzy and Ellis. Ellis just listening to himself.
Listening to himself. I would on his never podcast. Have had
Ellis James down as a self listener.
No. And a laugher.
And a self-laugher.
That is an astonishing revelation.
Have you ever listened back or seen yourself do something and laughed and then felt instant regret? I've never listened to myself back or watched myself back, but the other day there was an advert for Rob and Romesh versus we did like gymnastics and I'm dressed like an absolute moron doing a cartwheel and I did laugh and even then I felt sick.
But I think that's a physical thing. If it was just something you'd said.
Yeah.
Something you've said is the thing you shouldn't be laughing at.
He'll never let Izzy or us let it down that he's a self-laugher.
He's a self-laugher. Rodri Giggs as well. That was a curveball.
Rodri Giggs. Still best advert of all time is that Paddy Power one. Have you seen it?
It's great. Yeah, loved it. If you want to buy Izzy's excellent novel, it's called Jane Is Trying and it's out now. Should we say all good bookshops? That's what they say, isn't it?
Yeah, but we're not them, are we?
No.
It's either, you know, you can either get it from Waterstones or a local bookshop, probably not Amazon.
Probably not. But you know, you probably will.
But yeah, but I've literally just bought some pretzels off Amazon because my kid shouted at me and I was next to my phone. And they're coming today.
It's too easy.
Anyway, wherever you get it from, just buy the book. It's a good book. She's brilliant, Izzy. We'll speak to you next week.
See you then. Bye.
Bye.